Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Now, fairly recently I received an email from a listener who was absolutely horrified to learn how her female friend had ended up with very few rights following the end of a long-term relationship. Essentially, this woman had moved in with her partner. She'd helped raise his children from a previous marriage. She'd contributed to the upkeep of their home for 10 years and had borne him another child in that time. But then he fell in love with someone else and asked her to leave, and she found herself effectively out in the cold. And our listener was appalled to realize that the concept of a common law wife was not actually recognized in South African law, and that her friend really had nothing to show for the investment she'd put into that home and that family for over a decade, including, by the way, having paid for upgrades to the property, which is now owned by the man who threw her out. Very, very tricky situation. And, you know, as we said during our previous segment on divorce a week or two ago, nobody goes into a marriage planning for a divorce, nor does anybody move in with their partner expecting that the relationship will fail and they might move out again in future. But if you are thinking about it, I hope you're going to listen carefully today and think about the financial consequences should that relationship end. That means going into the new situation with eyes wide open and hopefully with a sound cohabitation agreement in place. My guest is going to chat to us about what that means and what that document should cover. It's a great pleasure to welcome in studio Bertus Preller, who's a family law attorney at Bertus Preller and Associates. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm interested to hear from any listeners who've had personal experience with this. If you've been in a long-term relationship, lived together and had the relationship end, how did you manage the disentanglement of your lives and your finances? And was it something that you felt was protected? Did you sign some kind of document before you went into it? Or did you find yourself quite vulnerable in that process? If you'd like to share your story with us or to ask a question, you're welcome to call in on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 0725671567. Bertus, this concept of common law marriage is, I think, something many people believe still exists. Has it ever actually been recognized in law here?
No, it's a complete fallacy. I mean, the fact that people, I still get many clients that come and see me and say that they've been living together for 10 years and then ask, you know, are they in some kind of common law marriage? But the answer to that question is no. And our law doesn't have any specific legislation currently regulating domestic partnerships in South Africa. There was a bill promulgated in 2008, and we're still waiting for that to come onto the legislator's book. So In the meantime, it's a piecemeal situation. You have to take pieces and bits and pieces from various legislation and then apply it to this domestic partnership when it ends.
Okay, so the person who alerted me to the story I just described was concerned that somehow rights had been stripped away from women without them realizing, women in particular, who are likely to be the more vulnerable party in many such cases. Is that the case? Did we have a kind of right that existed before that isn't there any longer, or is it in fact the case that it's never been properly regulated?
It's never been properly regulated,
yeah.
But you know, if you look at the law in 2012, there was quite an important decision by the Supreme Court of Appeal in a case called Butters versus Menorca. And the facts that you actually mentioned earlier, it's more or less akin to what happened there.
Okay.
The parties met when the husband was 27, she was 24, she never really worked. He had started building some assets, a big business. Unfortunately, all the assets were registered in his name. They had two children, and she actually maintained the family. And the matter came before the Supreme Court in Port Elizabeth, and the court awarded 30% of the assets to her based on what we call a universal partnership, which is actually an old Roman Dutch law rule that used to be applied in business ventures, but although it wasn't family law related, it was actually applied in this case, and the Supreme Court of Appeal actually at the end of the day awarded 30% of the assets to her.
Okay.
So there is
a legal precedent,
a remedy,
there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the main thing to understand here is the fact that you've decided to live together doesn't create any kind of legal obligation on the person that you're moving in with.
No real obligations, because, you know, when you get married, for example, there's a duty of support that accrue that the spouses will have to maintain each other for the duration of the marriage. That doesn't exist in a domestic partnership. So you're never able to claim maintenance unless there's a contract that you enter into ultimately that regulates that.
Okay, obviously if there are children involved, I'm assuming that that will be different, that the law would require the partner to carry on maintaining for the child, if not for the partner.
Correct, because okay. In terms of the Children's Act, Section 21, you know, unmarried fathers, for example, will have care and contact or parental rights towards the children. The maintenance actually springs from the Constitution and the Maintenance Act. You will always be responsible, actually both partners responsible for the maintenance of the child until the child is self-supporting. So although there's a domestic partnership, that right to pay maintenance in the hand of the child will always be there.
Okay. If you've joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio is Bertus Preller, who is a family law attorney at Bertus Preller and Associates, talking about this concept of a cohabitation agreement. So the bottom line, Bertus, is the law doesn't provide for it. So you need to take steps. If you want to go in sensibly with eyes wide open, you need to sign some kind of document that agrees up front that should this go pear shape and we end the relationship, this is how we are going to extricate ourselves.
Yes, because if you look from the start of the relationship, it is a contractual relationship. In this case, in this Menorca case, for example, the court found that this partnership was a tacit partnership and looked at all the facts and then came to the conclusion that, you know, the parties work together as almost as spouses for the benefit of the family and to accrue assets. But when there's a contract in place, then obviously it's much easier to hold the other party to that contract.
Okay, we've got some questions starting to stream in. Just a reminder that your SMS has come to 31567. You can tweet your question at Cape Talk, or you can phone us on 021-446-0567. And I'll get to those in just a moment. But first, I think most importantly, what should a cohabitation agreement cover? What sort of stuff would you put in there?
Well, obviously, I mean, the most important issue is, you know, what happens at the end of the partnership when there's a breakup. So obviously, it's got to regulate, you know, things like, for example, the property. One of the partners have a property, it can regulate things like during the course of the relationship, who contributes in what percentage to the monthly household expenses. It could, for example, also deal with maintenance when there's a breakdown in the relationship, for example. And it actually regulates almost the relationship like an antenuptial contract would in the case of a marriage, for example.
Okay, now the follow-on question then. My antenuptial contract has the concept of accrual built into it, knowing that, so I took a few years out of my job to be at home having our kids and getting them started, which obviously affected my earning potential and advancement potential at work. Is there any way to write something similar into a cohabitation agreement?
You can. The question is, you know, how the court will view that ultimately, because the antenuptial contract is drafted and it's established in terms of the Matrimonial Properties Act. But obviously, if you agree contractually with a party, what will happen when that partnership terminates? A court will uphold that contract because the parties would have entered into it freely initially with the commencement of their relationship. You know, it's quite something that people might not know is that the intimate relationships in South African law is regulated by three pieces of legislation, being the Marriage Act and then the Customary Marriages Act and then the Civil Union Act. And the Civil Union Act was brought in for same-sex couples. But the Act doesn't say that heterosexual couples can't enter into a civil union. And when you enter into that civil union, you can actually then register an antenuptial contract. The problem is that if the relationship breaks down, it's sort of difficult to unravel everything because it would be akin to a marriage. It actually becomes a marriage. And I think that's why the legislator imposed in 2008 brought in the possibility of the Domestic Partnership Bill. I just don't understand why it's never been promulgated, because there's a lot of people that end up with no rights and they've got to go and run through the courts. And as you know, to hire lawyers is very expensive these days. So lots of people just, you know, walk away from it.
Gosh, so 10 years down the line, the framework of the bill is there. It's just never been pushed through. Very interesting. Right, we've got Monica on the line from Seapoint. I'm just going to ask you about just to pop on your headphones so that you could hear Monica's question. Monica, thanks for calling in. Good afternoon.
Hi there. My question relates to basically a deceased estate where there's been cohabitation but no agreement. the one party now claims a vehicle or an asset which the will doesn't cover at all. The party that's claiming has actually been addressed in the will, but once more. How does one handle this?
Well, obviously, if the the party was addressed in the will, then the party will only inherit what has been said in the will. And for example, in a case where there's no will, a domestic partner in a relationship will have no right of inheritance in terms of our legislation. But you obviously can't claim more than what the testator actually bequeathed in terms of that will for you to inherit.
Monica, does that help you?
Yes, it does. I've just got one question. The party has actually removed these items and will not return them. So what does one do in this case? Is it theft, or how do you maneuver?
I actually didn't hear quite properly, but what I understand is that the assets were taken. Was it taken during the finalization of the estate?
Yes.
Well, in that case, the executor of the estate must take the necessary steps, you know, to, because you can't
reclaim those items. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct, because it's part of the estate actually, until such time as the estate is finalised.
Okay, Monica, sounds like you need to get the executor involved. Thank you. Good luck to you as well on a difficult situation. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial with your questions. You can also do what Warren has done and send me an email asking, if a cohabitation relationship ends, who is liable for debts that you might have incurred together?
Both parties, if those debts were made together, only the one party who made their debts, if it's only the one party that accrued those debts.
Okay. Follow-up question here from Anonymous on the WhatsApp line. Will a cohabitation agreement have any impact if we later decide to get married?
Not necessarily, because there was a constitutional court decision that says you always have the opportunity to marry in terms of a certain regime. So the question, when you get married, you either can get married with the accrual, without the accrual, or with no antenuptial contract in community of property. What the court will take into consideration in such circumstances would be at the end of the marriage, where spousal maintenance, for example, comes into play, and the court will then regard that period that the parties have been together as one of the factors to apply to award spousal maintenance, for example.
Yeah. Again, if you've just joined us late to the conversation, you're listening to my guest, Bertus Preller, a family law attorney at Bertus Preller and Associates. Sue asking, are there any tax implications to living together that would be affected?
I know, it's such a wide concept because you've got to take from various pieces of legislation. But in terms of the Income Tax Act and the Estate Duty Act, cohabitants are treated as spouses for the purposes of tax legislation. And the word spouse is defined also includes a spouse in a permanent same-sex or heterosexual relationship. So it is taken into consideration.
And does it impact on how much tax you'll pay?
Well, obviously, I think that's a difficult question for me to answer. I'm not a
You're not the tax
CAO
attorney, to be fair. Okay, fair enough. Billy asking on the WhatsApp line, Bertus, should we rather encourage your friends and family not to live together unless a contract has been put in place?
Well, it's different. You know, if you look at across the world, I mean, cohabitation has increased eightfold all over the world, in all countries. And people are these days, less and less people are getting married, more people stay together. So it's very difficult, and it depends, you know, how you look at if whether you think it's immoral or whether you, especially from a religious point of view, for example. I just think that people entering into relationships, living together, don't understand the consequences once that relationship terminates. And you can stop and block a lot of the repercussions by way of a short contract stipulating and giving you guidance, you know, ultimately when this relationship will fail.
Of course, it's the least romantic thing to think about, where you're in the flush of a new relationship and you're all excited about moving in together, the same as an antenuptial contract.
Exactly.
Is.
I mean, we see it with the antenuptial contracts all the time, and effort goes into the wedding and, you know, the roses and, you know, the ceremony itself. But people overlook, and we get situations where women just didn't know what they were signing. Some women don't know whether they married with or without the accrual. I had clients that thought they were married with an antenuptial contract, and it turned out to be they got married in community of property. So it's actually a very important contract. I would say the antenuptial contract is one of the most important contracts of your life
that you'll ever sign. Yeah. Having said that, someone's asking, what happens if one party refuses to sign the contract?
Well, that's a difficulty, because then obviously the consequence might be a breakup of the relationship.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You can't force someone to, but then you've got to rely on sort of a tacit agreement ultimately, like we had in this case in 2012, which is very problematic. So it's a very difficult issue. The same, I guess, what happens if you don't want to sign an antenuptial contract, you know, but then you marry in community of property.
Yeah, regardless of whether or not okay, I hear you. Very complicated one, and obviously not the most romantic way to start a relationship, but so important. If you are considering moving in together, please do think about looking for a cohabitation agreement. Is there a template available online, or is it something that really needs to be personalized with an attorney's help?
I think it's better to personalize it, because obviously, you know, each case needs to be looked at on its own facts, depending whether, you know, sometimes there's big assets involved and so on. But you can Google antenuptial contract on the divorcelaws.co.za website. There is a template that one can use, you know, but obviously one needs to get some specialized person also to look at it, especially and taper it for that specific circumstances.
It's been a fascinating conversation, Bertus. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
That website was divorcelaw.co.za.
With an S, divorcelaws.co.za.
Bertus Preller of Bertus Preller and Associates.